Bethany Baptist Church
would like to welcome all to attend the Spiritual Revival Missions Conference being held September 15th through September 22nd with the theme Empowering Future Generations for Global Missions. Please plan to join us for spiritually uplifting praise and worship, inspirational missionary testimonies about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and anointed speakers that will minister the word of God. For more information, please go to our website, bethanybaptist-pgh.org.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of part four of More Than Conquerors. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of part four for More Than Conquerors.
On this morning with our theme, from Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. And we've been talking about more than conquerors this year. Romans 8, 37. It says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And we pointed out a couple weeks ago that that word conqueror actually is the Greek word Nike. And that's where we get the Nike sports equipment. And we talked about the goddess Nike, that Nike was the goddess of victory. And here in this verse, the word Nike, he says that we are more than conquerors. And so he adds something to that Nike here. As Dr. Tony Evans, I heard him say one time in Romans 8:37, this is Nike on steroids. And you are more than conquerors. You are overcomers. And so we've been looking at the fact that there are things that get in our way, right? We are more than conquerors, but there are things that get in our way. And we talked about those lions, right? In Proverbs 22 and verse 13, it says, the slothful man says, there is a lion in the streets, a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. Proverbs 26, 13, it says that the slothful man says, if there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. And so we pointed out the fact that we are conquerors, and yet and still there are lions that get in our way, right? There are lions that get in our way. And what are these lions? These lions are excuses, right? They're excuses that we make. I'm too busy. I'm not smart enough. I'm too old. I don't have enough money. I can't afford it. You know, we come up with all these lions, right? There's excuses that stand in our way between us and the obstacles that God, there are obstacles that stand in our way between us and the things that God has for us. And so these excuses, we find reasons to excuse why we don't accomplish the things that God wants us to accomplish, whether it's reading our Bible, whether it's praying, whether it's writing that book, whether it's singing that song, learning that instrument, getting that degree, getting in shape, you know, whatever it is, that we come up with excuses that justify why we don't do the things that we are supposed to do. And so what is an excuse? An excuse is a lion, right? It's the reason why we don't do what we're supposed to do. An explanation used to justify, to defend or justify a fault or offense, or even a lack of desire to reach your goal, that lion stands your way, in your way. So that lion represents a disabling justification. You know, it disables you in life. It renders you powerless to the things that you are supposed to do. Now, the last time that we got together, we talked about it takes a lion to beat a lion. It takes a lion to beat a lion. And we looked at all those verses in the Bible that talks about a lion. Proverbs 28 and verse 1 said, the righteous are as bold as a lion. So you see that lion standing in the streets? That the only way that you are going to beat that lion is that you become a lion. And so we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so today we want to talk about this whole idea of if you're going to be a conqueror, that you've got to take responsibility for your life. You've got to take responsibility for your life. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. That the ant is the perfect picture of a creature, one of God's creatures, that takes responsibility for itself. Father, we come to you this morning, and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come and look at your word again this morning. And as we look at your word, Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things out of your law. So as we get into your word this morning, we invite the congregation to come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table anytime. He who fed the multitudes and turned the water into wine, come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. Feed us, Lord, from your table, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The story is told about an old wise man who lived in the mountains. He had this uncanny ability to be able to tell people what was in their packages. And so every time he would come down from the mountain and come into the city, he would tell people what they had in their packages. And people were just amazed because every time he got it right. There was a group of young boys and they thought the man to be a fraud, and so they wanted to expose him. So they devised a plan, and the plan that they devised is that they would get a little bird, and they would put the bird in their hands. Now, they knew that the man would be able to tell them what's in their hand, but they would ask him anyways, what is in our hand, and they knew that he would be able to get it right. But then they said, we will ask him, is the bird alive or dead? And if he says that it's alive, then we'll kill it and show him that it was dead and he was wrong. If he says that it's dead, that we'll open our hands and let the bird fly away and expose him for the fraud that he is. So the wise man came to the village one day, and as the wise man was in the village, the boys came up to him and they said, tell us if the bird in our hand, he said, tell us what is in our hand. So the wise man told him that it was a bird. And they said, but now tell us if the bird is alive or dead. To which the wise man replied, the bird is in your hands to do as you choose. And so I come to tell you today, like that bird was in those boys' hands, to do as they chose to do, that your life is in your hands. And it's up to you, that your life is going to be what you make it, that you are the one that's responsible for your life, that your peace, your joy, and your success is in your hands. And people who take responsibility for their lives leave very little room for excuse making. That when you take responsibility for what happens in your life, it's at that point that you are in control. And see, even if something happens that's outside of your control, that you can still take responsibility for how you handle it and for turning that situation around. That even if you were dealt a bad hand, even if you receive some blows in life that set you back, It's still your responsibility. How you handle it and how you turn that situation around. I found this powerful chart as I was researching, and it talks about, hard to see up there, but hopefully you can see it right there. But what it talks about is excuse making versus taking responsibility for your life. And what it shows is that when we fail to take responsibility, that our lives go in a direction that is not positive. And so you can see here that when we have a tragedy or we have something wrong that takes place in our life, that if you look right there in the middle between the green and the brown, you can go either side. You can begin to go upward or you can begin to go downward. If you want to go upward, when you deal with a situation that went wrong, you can take responsibility and say, what could I have done different? What could I do different, right? But if you don't take responsibility, what do you say? Wasn't my fault. Remember Adam? When he sinned and God came looking for Adam, the first thing that Adam did was what? He blame shifted. He shifted it to his wife. He said that it wasn't my fault. It was the woman that you gave me. And so he did not take responsibility for the situation. So when you don't take responsibility, you need to realize this. When you don't take responsibility for your life, you begin to lose control over your life. Just think about that. When you don't take responsibility, what are you doing? You're empowering everybody else and every other thing around you. And you're saying, you take control. But when we take responsibility, we have more control over the outcomes. You may have heard this said, that if it's going to be, it's up to me. Now, I'm going to say some things in a second because I want to show us, we got to get Christ in this picture somewhere. So I'm just setting the stage now, right? And letting us know that we need to take this whole idea of taking our lives, taking responsibility into our lives. We need to be serious about how we deal with this. So if I take responsibility, I can control the outcomes. Now watch this. This is deep, right? This is deep. When I know I can control the outcomes because I've taken responsibility, what does that do? That energizes me. That energizes my life. That gives me motivation to want to run on and see what the end is going to be. But when I blame shift and I cast off on somebody else, I lack control over my circumstances, and then what happens? My motivation is lower, right? If I empower you or I empower my circumstances, what does that do? That zaps my motivation. That kills my motivation. But as long as I know I can do something about it, I'm motivated. And so when we take responsibility, we control the outcomes, we are higher motivated, and what? The results are going to be better. It's going to be better results. But whenever we cast it off, we don't take responsibility, we blame shift, we lose control over our outcomes, we have lower motivation, and the results are worse. I like the prayer of Reinhold Niebuhr. He said this, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. This sounds like the prayer of somebody that wants to take control of their life. This sounds like the prayer of somebody that wants to take responsibility for their life. God, give me the peace to accept the things that I can't change. Lord, let me know when the things are in front of me that I can't change. Give me the courage to change the things that I can and the wisdom to know the difference. This is an individual that has taking responsibility for their lives. Now, the problem is this. in our society today, we live in the culture where irresponsibility is the order of the day. When you think about, okay, if we can roll on to that next slide, please. When you think about our society, and this is amazing because people, you know, and let me say this, that these excuses are actually things that people have told me, right? These are things that people have told me. So I know this is real. It's not something that's theoretical, but it's something that's real. So irresponsibility is the order of the day in our culture, right? Because what? We reinforce it. Instead of irresponsibility being challenged, when somebody's being irresponsible, instead of it being challenged, we reinforce it, right? I heard somebody tell me that, you know, whether I come to work late or not, I still get my full salary. How many people? No, I'm not going to ask you that. Some of y'all have heard that. Whether a person comes late to work or not, they still get their full pay. Now, wait a minute. Isn't that reinforcing irresponsibility? Right? That's reinforcing. And so we wonder why people today don't want to take responsibility for their lives. Reproduction. When irresponsibility is not challenged, watch this. It's passed on to others. So how many people have heard this, right? Why should I be on time? Everybody else is late. So what are we doing? We are actually reproducing irresponsibility. Because we see somebody else that's late, you know? Now, when you think about it, you know, now I've heard people say this, right? Everybody else is late. So, you know, it don't make any difference if I come on time or not. Well, you know, that might be true, but don't you want more for yourself than that? I was thinking, I don't know if I put this quote up here. Let me see. No, I didn't put that quote up there, but it actually, it was a quote by Henry Ward Beecher, and he says this: hold yourself responsible for a higher standard than anyone expects of you. Never excuse yourself. Hold yourself to a higher standard, even if everybody else is late, right? But what do we see in our culture? We see people, instead of standing up and saying, well, you know what? No, I'm going to show up on time regardless of everybody else is late. Everybody else punches in late. I'm going to be on time, right? That's a person that takes the responsibility for their life. And then it's reoccurrence. And that is when irresponsibility is not challenged, it happens over and over again. And I asked this person, you know, why do you go to work late all the time? And the thing that this person told me, well, you know, my boss don't care. My boss don't say anything. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, well, your boss is what? Enabling your irresponsibility, right? So we live in a culture that we are swimming against the tide of responsibility. We are swimming against the tide of responsibility. It's very easy to blame somebody else, to say, you know, I hear brothers walking up and down the street all the time, it's somebody else's fault, right? It's easy to blame things on your spouse. It's easy to blame things on your upbringing. You know, if my parents hadn't have done this when I was growing up, it's easy to blame somebody else. But my brothers and sisters, at some point, we have to stop and we have to take responsibility for our own lives. Now, let me deal real quick, because we're getting ready to talk about self. And so you're going to hear this word self quite a bit. But I want to give you the meaning that I'm trying to infuse into this word self. So here it goes. In this sermon, in this lesson, the word self will be used quite frequently. The intention here is not to describe a person that is dependent upon human efforts. So let me say that right away. So when I say self, I'm not talking about a person that's dependent upon human efforts, but one who has taken the ownership of picking up the mantle of responsibility. We know that the Christian life is one where a person is called to deny the ego-driven self. Let me read that again. The Christian life is one where the person is called to deny the ego-driven self, right? So in Matthew 16, Jesus said, if you want to come after me, you got to deny yourself, right? Pick up your cross and follow me. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we know that the Christian life is one where a person is called to deny ego-driven self. So our reference to self assumes that the person is rooted in a relationship with Christ and dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to make that clear, because I can hear somebody, Pastor, you talked a whole lot about self this morning, and you know, it seems like you're trying to put it in the human. No, I'm not trying to do that. I'm just using these words because, you know, we said it, and it's in the Bible, right? This is in the Bible. This is in the Bible. If you take one step, God will take, no. No, that's not in the Bible. But the concept is there. Right, if you do what you're supposed to do, if you open up your heart and ask Christ to come in, God will save you. And so if we take responsibility, you know, for our lives, then God will take us to the level that we need to go. And so let's look at this ant this morning. And the first thing we see as we think about this idea of taking responsibility for our lives. That, you know what, there's not some magical flying fairy that's going to come and take responsibility for your life. You know, it's going to be you. You have to take responsibility for your life. And the beautiful thing about the ant, I mean, you know, we looked at the lion, and now we're looking at the ant, and the beautiful thing about the ant is that the ant knows what it has to do. And the ant just gets busy, right? It just gets busy. That means the ant has taken responsibility for itself. And so the first thing that we see that it says in Proverbs chapter 6, it says that the ant has no guide. The ant has no guide. Yo, this ought to be a message. You ought to take good notes on this message, because this ought to be one that every young person needs to hear, this message here. Look in your notes. Solomon says, ants have no guide. The word guide is from the Hebrew word kalsim, and is translated commander. This is a military term, and it refers to one who was in charge of drafting and managing an army. Ants have no commander over them, giving them orders. They know what to do, and instinctively have a plan for getting the job done. But they don't have anybody over there saying, go this way, go that way. Do this, do that. The ants just instinctively know what it is that they're supposed to do, and they have no guide. I heard the story about this guy. He was driving along the interstate, and you know, he stopped at a rest stop, and he saw these three guys, or two guys, and they were going along the highway. And one guy.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of part 4 of More Than Conquerors. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, part 4 of More Than Conquerors, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request part 4 of More Than Conquerors. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request part 4 of More Than Conquerors. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.